From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns begins an exposition of chapter 13. The subject of this chapter is the Christian's duty to civil government, an area which has elicited much debate for centuries. Are believers commanded to submit to the laws of the state under every circumstance? When and how is disobedience to governmental authorities justified? As he begins this message, Dr. Cairns deals first with some questions about how chapter 13 relates to chapter 12. We'll see that both chapters teach believers how to live in the light of the truths revealed in the first 11 chapters of the book. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce a message entitled Subjects of Two Kingdoms. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 149 and verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in Him. Be glad of heart, O believer, but take care that thy gladness has its spring in the Lord. Thou hast much cause for gladness in thy God, for thou canst sing with David, God, my exceeding joy. Be glad that the Lord reigneth, that Jehovah is king. Rejoice that he sits upon the throne and ruleth all things. Every attribute of God should become a fresh ray in the sunlight of our gladness. That he is wise should make us glad, knowing as we do our own foolishness. That he is mighty should cause us to rejoice who tremble at our weakness. That he is everlasting should always be a theme of joy when we know that we wither as the grass. That he is unchanging should perpetually yield us a song, since we change every hour. That he is full of grace, that he is overflowing with it, and that this grace in covenant he has given to us, that it is ours to cleanse us, ours to keep us, ours to sanctify us, ours to perfect us, ours to bring us to glory, all this should tend to make us glad in Him. This gladness in God is as a deep river. We have only as yet touched its brink. We know a little of its clear, sweet, heavenly streams, but onward the depth is greater, and the current more impetuous in its joy. The Christian feels that he may delight himself not only in what God is, but also in all that God has done in the past. The Psalms show us that God's people in olden times were wont to think much of God's actions and to have a song concerning each of them. So let God's people now rehearse the deeds of the Lord. Let them tell of His mighty acts and sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. Nor let them ever cease to sing, for as new mercies flow to them day by day, so should their gladness in the Lord's loving acts, in providence and in grace, show itself in continued thanksgiving. Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God.
Of our Father, which passes all other, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ our Lord.
Always, always rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, oh, rejoice in the Lord. With unselfish giving, with sanctified living, with hearts in thanksgiving, rejoice in the Lord.
Thank you.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. And we're pleased to make a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of this DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns, free of charge. If you wish, you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Now, in our studies in Romans, we've reached chapter 13, and we're going to read that chapter together. Romans chapter 13, just a brief chapter. I think the briefest of all the chapters in Romans, so that I do have a fighting chance of being able to cover the chapter in one message. But time will tell. Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? I should say that the wilt is, do you desire to live unafraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but in strife, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. While this is the briefest chapter, and despite my almost giving it a whole new meaning and text at the end by misreading, an easy chapter to read and understand for the most part, it is, at least in the opening verses, a section that has occasioned long dispute among commentators and especially among textual and critical scholars. The question is how and why these opening verses, especially 1 through 7, came to be written and placed here. Some have boldly, I think really that's not the best word, personally I would think blasphemously, proposed excising these verses from the genuine Pauline text of the epistle altogether. They argue that there's no grammatical connection between the beginning of chapter 13 and the end of chapter 12. They argue that there's no mention of Christ in these verses, in a section that purports to establish a Christian attitude towards secular rulers. They argue even further that there's nothing quite like this section in any other part of the New Testament. How they argue that, I must confess, is more than a little beyond me. And I think when we get to cite a few other scriptures in a minute or two, you'll see how far from the truth that argument is. But then, untruthfulness never really got in the way of a blasphemer. And then the argument is that if you were to read from chapter 12, verse 21, and take up the reading at chapter 13, verse 8, it would make perfect sense, and there would be a very good connection. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. They say that's the proper connection, and therefore this section in between somehow was written, some would say by Paul under other circumstances, others would say by another hand altogether, and it was placed here, out of place, it is interpolated where it ought not to be. Now, most commentators are not willing to countenance going thus far. These people have no greater argument than that in their infinite wisdom. They cannot see the connection between this section and what goes before it, and therefore, since they're at a loss, let's get rid of it. As I say, most commentators are not willing to countenance that, and yet many of them still confess to seeing a problem. Even evangelicals will talk about a very abrupt change of theme, and some will even consider that Paul here contradicts in some ways what he's been saying in other parts even of this epistle. I'm not going to follow these meanderings because I think to mention them, to note them, is sufficient to refute them. And especially when you look carefully at the passage, I think you'll see that it's not overly difficult to establish more than an adequate connection with the context both before and after. Remember that chapters 12 through 16 deal with living by the faith of the gospel. Having established the great message of the gospel, now Paul is describing in some detail how we put the gospel into operation. And it's very natural that having described believers as members of Christ's body, he should now proceed to deal with how the members of that body, that's their spiritual connection, deal with the society around them, because that is their earthly connection. And that's really a very simple way of connecting the two chapters, 12 and 13. Chapter 12, we're members of the church. Chapter 13, despite being members of the church, we are yet citizens of this earthly kingdom. But while we're citizens of the earthly kingdom, Paul goes on to make clear in chapter 13, we are called to fulfill the laws of the kingdom of heaven, even while we're here on earth. So the apostle therefore deals with such subjects in this passage as the legitimacy of earthly government, making it clear that the Bible does not believe in anarchy. And as many good commentators have pointed out, without mentioning any particular form of government, and I realize that people have their preferences. Most Americans believe that the Constitution is the 67th book of the Bible, and that republican government is written into Scripture. It is not. Many monarchists believe that the divine right of kings is written into Scripture. It is not. Many would like to believe that the Bible establishes democracy as the only form of government. It does not. It does not mention a particular form of government. It says, in effect, that God has established government, and He's for it. And human government is legitimate. Now, that's a big statement. But broadly, that's what Paul is saying. He's dealing with the legitimacy of human government. And as I've said, many good commentators have wisely remarked that even poor government is better than no government. He goes on to deal with such matters as crime and punishment. And, of course, he touches on that perennial problem of taxation. If you were to look at chapter 12 at the end, from 18 through 21, and then go into the opening verses of chapter 13, you'd see they follow on. And here's another good connection. At the end of chapter 12, we are told, "If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire in his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." We are not to exact vengeance, but we are to leave it to the Lord, who is the final judge. But now chapter 13 makes it clear in the opening verses that the judgment of God, the decisions of God, do not all await the second coming or the judgment day, because God has established legitimate government in the earth, and He has established in the social and political sphere ministers of God, deacons of God, men active in pursuing something that, even though they may not recognize it, God has ordained. And these men, as this passage makes clear, have the legitimate power to govern and even to judge. Now, Paul wrote this to the believers in Rome. And the Roman believers knew very well that they were faced with much evil. Paul had just told them, be not overcome by the evil that's around you, but overcome that evil with good. Now, in chapter 13, he proceeds with some detail to tell them how they may actually overcome evil with good. So the connection between chapter 13 and what goes before is not difficult, nor is the overall message difficult, though the details have occasioned endless debate. Let me state for you in a sentence what I think is the general message in context of this chapter. And follow me carefully here. This is Paul's argument. Remember the connection that I've established about not taking vengeance and recognizing that God is the ultimate judge, etc. Now we come into chapter 13. Believing that the Lord is the ultimate judge, Christians live, and I'm going to use a word that comes up later in the chapter, decently, honestly, honorably, subjecting themselves to human rulers and their laws, but obeying the law of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.